So Water First is a non-governmental organization that partners with Indigenous communities to support access to clean drinking water. And we specifically focus on education, training, and meaningful collaboration. Our strands over to the side are kind of what ground our work, trust building, meaningful partnerships, and lasting results. I'm Sam. I'm the development manager. I work with anyone who's interested in supporting Water First in any way, shape, or form. So whether that's a $1 donation, a $1 million donation, a tweet, an Instagram post, a presentation, whatever. So if ever you do want anything from Water First or you have any questions, my email is there. Feel free to connect with me directly to anything you need. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about Water First past before getting into Water First. So like John mentioned, we started in 2009, but we were actually called Tin Roof Global, and we worked with communities in Uganda, and we supported access to clean drinking water there. We would put tin roofs on community houses, and then it would collect rainwater, and that would be the drinking water for the community. So our executive director and founder had then gone to like Rotary clubs, churches, different community groups to give presentations about Tin Roof Global. And he asked me about the question, that's awesome what you're doing. I'm sure it's very needed, but why are you going so far away to support clean drinking water when there's communities here in Canada that don't have access to it? And in his words, he said, I got tired of not having a good answer. So he ended up going to a conference in Ottawa, a water conference, and was thinking, okay, there has to be someone in Canada already doing this. Found out there actually isn't anyone in Canada supporting access to clean drinking water for First Nations communities and Indigenous communities in Canada. So we started working with Shawanaga First Nation in 2013, and then we changed our name to Water First in 2016, and that has been our entire mission ever since. Why do we focus on training education? If you didn't know, there is a water crisis currently going on in Indigenous communities in Canada today. 15% of First Nations communities in Canada don't have reliable access to clean drinking water, and in Ontario, it's 35%. So over a third of Indigenous communities in Ontario don't have reliable access to clean drinking water. Oftentimes, you'll see, I think the number's around 50 now, you'll see a number reported by the government or in news sources, and it will often reference boil water advisories. And that specifically references long-term drinking water advisories. There are a lot of communities that face multiple short-term drinking water advisories very close together throughout many years, and that doesn't get captured in that number that you often see reported. So there are a lot of communities that will have a short-term drinking water advisory for 3 months and then won't have one for 2 months, and then we'll have another one for 9 months. And that doesn't technically get counted as a long-term drinking water advisory. These numbers do reflect that. So at the end of the day, over a third of communities in Ontario do not have reliable access to drinking water. So what does Water First do about it? I did speak a little bit about it before. But we host a drinking water internship. So we specifically work with communities that have infrastructure in place. They just may face a challenge in capacity. So they either don't have any water operators, there's not enough operators. We work with a lot of communities, too, that their operators are in their 60s and the community might be in trouble in a few years. I recently heard a statistic that was just generally, not even with Indigenous communities, but over 50% of people in water science are going to retire in the next 5 to 10 years. So there is a really big effort right now to recruit more young people into the water science field. And then Water First specifically is focusing on Indigenous people. The drinking water internship is a 15-month paid internship where young Indigenous adults are hired and trained specifically to become water operators. They will challenge and hopefully be successful at receiving the operator in training certification, the water quality analyst certification, and then they also receive over 2,000 hours of in-plant experience so that when they are done the internship, they will be ready and hopefully interested in becoming certified water operators and work at their water treatment plant, their local water treatment plant. We are currently running our third internship in the Georgian Bay area, and we actually just announced that we will be launching a fourth internship in June in partnership with the North Shore Tribal Council. So it's like a little north of Manitoulin Island. The internship has also been extremely successful. The vast majority of interns will receive employment or an offer of employment upon graduation, and some even receive an offer of employment before even graduating. There is a high demand for water operators in the areas where we work, so the vast majority of time when an intern does do in-plant hours at their local water treatment plant, it's because they need more certified water operators. So the odds of them getting a position of employment afterward are very high. So I have a video I think I shared found. Let me just double check. Yes, okay. So it should work. If it doesn't, just let me know.
It's a good program. It should you allow to vote what a community needs for clean water.
Being a single parent and raising a child is financially difficult, and I probably wouldn't have completed the internship successfully if it wasn't for that support from Harvard.
The internship is designed to create long-term skilled people in the community who can maintain clean drinking water supply for the future.
I just want to make sure it's healthy. It's my community. It's where I come from. I take pride in what I do. Getting into this internship, to be honest, I didn't know what I was signing up for. I came in here for a job, and I ended here with a career. My family's set for this. Having this for my son and I is the best.
As a largely known Indigenous organization, we look to our First Nations Advisory Council for strategic advice on how to effectively collaborate with partners and design and deliver our programs in the community.
First Nations Advisory Council is a space where we come as practitioners and ask a lot of questions about how do we tackle X, Y, and Z in ways that make sense to the participating communities.
So I support them because of the work that they do. I've seen the relationships that they've established with the communities, and they're very respectful relationships, and they're reciprocal relationships.
Working with our partners, we offer a 15-month paid internship for young Indigenous adults who can start a career in water operations. Currently, 8 out of the 10 graduates from our last internship are still working in drinking water plants. 2 of the other graduates are now returning to school and pursuing additional studies in environmental science. After graduating from the drinking water internship, our interns are welcomed into the alumni network. This is an opportunity for our alumni to continue building professional and career relationships and receive additional training put on by both Water First and our partners.
Knowing that we're no longer a Mumbo water advisor anymore, and we don't have to drink out of bottles, you know, it's gonna be huge for us.
The internship is awesome. Commit to it and everything will fall into place.
We wouldn't be here today as an organization, and particularly with the internship program, if we didn't have the support of those donors.
So that was our drinking water internship. It's kind of our biggest and like flagship program that we have and seems to be what we're most well known for. So people come to Water First to learn about the drinking water internship. And it's kind of most directly or most obviously connected to access to clean drinking water. That being said, we also run an environmental internship program. So it's also a training program, but it more focuses on source water. So things like lakes and rivers. And we focus on projects that include fish habitat rehabilitation, water quality monitoring, contamination studies. With our drinking water internship, we work on the tribal council level. So we'll work with anywhere between 8 to 10 First Nations at one time. And the program is very set in stone, kind of. So they need to learn certain things in order to take their certifications. They need to have a certain amount of hours in order to become certified water operators. With the environmental internship, we work on an individual community basis. So we work really with the community to find out what their priorities are and customize the program to ensure that their priority is what is being addressed. So for example, I have also a video on our environmental water program, but you'll hear from Carly in the video, and she speaks about a program that we have in partnership with Shea Hadji Innu First Nation in Labrador. Personally, it's one of my favorite projects because I think it's really cool. The community is hoping to launch an ecotourism company. So they purchased a lodge on a lake, and the lodge was previously owned by people who did not take care of the lake very well. So the lake has unfortunately come with a legacy of garbage. They specifically reference garbage islands on the lake, and the fish habitat the fish population has been really affected by the pollution. So part of the program in partnership with this First Nation is A, helping them run a tourism company and helping to support that effort, but they want the youth in the community who are going to be the tour guides to learn how to become kind of like environmental activists, conservation activists, and learn how to monitor the quality of the water and rehabilitate the fish habitat or the fish population. So it's really something that we've never done before, something that the First Nation has never done before, but the heart of the program is really to help ensure the people in the community know how to do this work themselves so they can continue to improve the environment that they work and live in well into the future.
We have always had environmental projects with communities. This environmental water program will take multiple workshops, the technical skills workshops, and combine that with practicum projects that are of interest to the communities, the tribal council, the groups we're working with. We focus on providing training and support for communities to gain the skills to actually measure their water quality and know what that data means. We hear a lot that communities are given long technical reports by companies in the area, by government, that they have not at all been involved in creating or gathering data for. So they haven't seen how the data has been collected, and nor are they given the opportunity to really understand what the technical report means. One specific project that we're doing with the Environmental Water Program is with Shishatshu Innu First Nation in Labrador. And the community has recently acquired a retired fishing lodge on a lake in their territory. And this lodge was operated in the 50s and 60s, unfortunately came with a legacy of garbage that was left there as well. They want to make sure that garbage is cleaned up and that fish habitat is restored in the area. And they also want to examine the effects of that garbage on the water quality. Have any contaminants leaked into the water, and could that be affecting the cleanliness and the safety of the water? We're helping to develop an environmental water certification program. We want to be able to offer communities an actual certification to demonstrate the capacities and skills that they have achieved. And we're doing this through a combination of technical workshops as well as a practicum project. At the moment, the two certifications we're working on developing are a water quality technician and a fish conservation technician. We have a couple more certifications that we'll develop at a future date, based on what we're hearing communities want and need. within the Environmental Water Program, we recognize the value and importance of having local knowledge and local perspectives incorporated into our training. But importantly, we recognize that it's not our place to teach it either. So the way that we focus on incorporating local knowledge is by making space and inviting local knowledge holders to teach right alongside us. One example I can think of is stories we've heard that walleye spawn when the birch trees bloom. And we can use water temperature data to look at why it is that the water temperature happens to peak at the right level right when the birch trees bloom. We have been working with multiple communities on subsequent projects. So we start off with one project, it goes really, really well. Further needs are identified and we work together to make new projects happen. I think that speaks to the strength of our relationship, how we work with communities, and our genuine interest in helping in any way we can to help them reach their own goals. To support these projects, I think the biggest thing that can be done is provide financial support. Because of our training style, taking the time to learn about community projects, identify technical needs, and adapt and tailor our programming to that individual community or tribal council we're working with, there's more time involved. We need time to listen, to go visit in person, generate the trust or start building trust with those really meaningful, sincere attempts to understand the context and create a program that's meant for them.
Okay, cool. So those are our two internship programs, mainly focused on young adults. We also run a school program. So when working with the communities for our internship programs, they had identified that they wanted to engage more young people in our work, pretty much ensuring the next generation of water scientists, essentially. So we listened to them and started working on the Indigenous School Water Program. There's kind of multiple different programs under this umbrella, but one of our biggest programs under this umbrella is called the What's in Your Water Workshop. So we partner with Indigenous schools, usually for around a week, and we'll run week-long water science-based experiential workshops. So half of the learning happens in the classroom. Well, they will learn about like microscopes, testing kits, a lot of different science technology. And then they can actually go out onto the land for half of the workshop to use some of the scientific technology that they've learned about. Another program that we have under this umbrella is a pilot program that we launched in partnership with Beausoleil First Nation. It is for recent grade 8 graduates that graduated grade 8. Throughout the summer, in between grade 8 and grade 9, they will take a 7-week course with Water First and Beausoleil, and I think there's another organization partnered as well. And they will earn a geography credit before even entering grade 9. So that's pretty cool. We also return to the same schools every single year. So some of these students that took part in our water science workshop also take part in our pilot program or took part in the pilot program. And then some of the students that have taken part in the water science workshops in grade 7 heard about this pilot program that the grade 8s got to do and actually reached out to our program's team and said, hey, you better be doing this. I want to do it so bad. I'm really interested in becoming a water scientist when I grow up. So hopefully we'll be able to take part in this program when I graduate grade 8. And that's essentially the heart of this program is to help inspire future water scientists. So it's really great that we've been able to engage young folks in the work that we're doing and hopefully help them journey into a career of water science into the future. A lot of these programs also take place in the same communities as our internship programs. So we often will ask some of the interns to come into the community and act as like mentorship and inspiration for the kids as well. And also to say like, hey, if you're interested in water science, a water operator would be a great career or an environmental technician would be a great career. So it's really great that we've been able to kind of mash all the programs together to help connect communities with the basis of water science. So I have one more video for you.
Hi. Hi, my name is Dylan Kubins, and I'm the Educational Programs Manager at Waterford.
Hi, my name is Adriana Balinski, and I am the Indigenous School Engagement Coordinator and Instructor at Waterford. So at Waterford, our youth education programming is for all school-age students from kindergarten to grade 12. And our goal is to bring experiential learning to Indigenous communities. So typically, experiential learning is outside of the classroom, doing things with your hands. So we take traditional ecological knowledge from the community and incorporate that with STEM curriculum. So we're bringing kind of those elements in to their communities and introducing tools that they may not have in their schools already.
We offer these programs for the unique learning opportunities they provide to Indigenous youth. We provide opportunities for youth to be on the land. We provide opportunities for them to collaborate with community members to complete projects. And our programs address water challenges in Indigenous communities by giving youth an opportunity to learn important water science concepts and couple it with local ecological knowledge to create a foundation of scientific knowledge that will inspire these youth to pursue careers in water science, to take leadership roles in their community. Ultimately, we want to address the underrepresentation of Indigenous perspectives in the water science field in Canada. Our education programs were developed in close consultation with our Indigenous Advisory Council, and they're designed to meet the wants and needs of our Indigenous community partners.
And our most recent project has feedback from the community members saying, you know, they were impressed by the leadership that the students were showing. We have done educational programming in a lot of different provinces. So we started out in Ontario, and we've moved to Quebec. We've done educational programming in Labrador and even in Manitoba.
The best solutions to solve water challenges in Indigenous communities are going to come from the Indigenous communities themselves. This is why youth water science education is so important.
They can take that knowledge and apply it in their future, whether that be a career or maybe just imparting that knowledge to other people, their friends, their children. It's just a stepping stone to increase the interest and the knowledge in water science as a whole.
Okay, and those are our three programs that we have. And then finally, I just wanted to reference a link that is available on our website, which I can send out afterward. But if you're interested to learn more about the water crisis or learn more about Indigenous communities, here are some of my favorite sources. The Resources to Learn More page has like podcasts, books, nonfiction books, fiction books, documentaries. I don't know if you've heard, their University of Alberta has a really great, I think it's like a 12-week university course that's free. So yeah, if you're interested to just expand your knowledge, there's some really great resources available on our website. And that's the end of my presentation. Let me know if you have any questions.